FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
TFYLP episode 268. I'm your host, Megamus. With me tonight is Headmaster Don.
Everybody.
And Sergio.
Evening.
Coming at you from a dark, undisclosed location somewhere beneath the Potomac.
Yeah, I'm stashing my hoard of toys here. Can't let anybody know where I'm at.
I still think he's in a bunk bed. I think he's in bunk beds.
I'm in my nuclear bunker.
Something like that, yeah.
Made of wood. Yeah, wood peddling, nuclear energy's major enemy. It's one weakness is polished wood.
So I am thinking, how do we go about this? Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. Well, we got two major topics tonight we're going to cover. One, we're going to be discussing Masterpiece Dinobot. And we're going to be talking about the pricing of Masterpiece Dinobot and what that could mean for the fandom. We're also going to be looking at, it's the holiday season, and as always, we like to offer our recommendations on what you can get for the Transformer collector in your life. So that way, we're all going to be offering our own individual opinions of what we thought had come out recently or come out this year. Or maybe even something from the previous year that's either reissued or slipped under everybody's radar. So that's what we're going to cover tonight. But first up, we will talk about our sponsors. Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. Be sure to check out Captured Prey for all the latest pre-orders for both Takara, Hasbro, and third-party figures. Also check out their sale prices. They've got some sales running now. So check out your holiday specials with them. Also, be sure to check out Mega Toy Fan. Mega Toy Fan is at most major Transformer and robot and toy conventions. Also, be sure to check with them on Facebook for all your vintage toys needs as well. Maximize your collection, minimize your costs with Mega Toy Fan. So, Brett, you want to get us started on either the recommendations or Dinobot?
Well, I thought we'd start with, does anyone have the new pictures of Dinobot? I was just flipping through here and looking at it, trying to find it. But let's talk about that first. So one of the things that that we've noticed is the increase in pricing in Masterpiece toys. I know you guys have seen it with Megatron and now Dinobot, what is it, like $250, $260?
I've seen him as low as Amazon Japan before shipping, $197 to $199 to $207, again, depending how the yen's fluctuating. But this is for a figure about 6 months down the road, give or take. So right. The yen is still going to fluctuate, but that's the cheapest I've seen it. Shipping would run you about, again, ballpark of around 20. So 220 to 230. Most places in the U.S. are doing pre-orders around 249.
I don't know where I was getting that. I could have sworn they said it was about 250, 260. But still, do you guys remember when the cars came out?
Yes.
Sideswipe. What was the price point on that?
79.
I was going to say right around 80 bucks, right?
Yeah, 80 mm-hmm. bucks, because I remember at the time with the yen rate with what it was, I was able – most places were 79 in the U.S. before shipping. With Hobbylink Japan, before the EMS shipping went up in Japan across the board, I was able to get most of the Masterpiece cars for about 63 to 69 shipped from Hobbylink. It was around $10 less than everywhere else in the U.S. Plus, I got them a little bit faster than waiting for the U.S. people to get them in stock.
Okay, so then, and there's a couple other things I kind of want to hit on, but let's jump ahead. And I'm writing myself a note.
Be as awesome as Don. Okay.
Actually, I was writing Massey Attack, but okay. So we jump a few years ahead.
I have a laser pointer for my anti-massive.
I was going to say, is that a taser? You're a tasing.
No, is an anti-massive laser pointer defense system.
All I could say is this much. Oh, my God, Sergio, am I the only one that sees half a face?
No, he looks normal.
There you go. I'm sitting there talking to you. I got like, it's like two-face going on.
It's like full face on mine, but it might have been the angle.
Okay. How about... Cheetor. What was the price point on that?
I got mine super cheap. I'm trying to remember. It was like from Amazon Japan, I got like, I'm going to say 50 plus shipping.
Yeah. And then you had Primal, which was
about 110.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So if we're just going to look at, let's just say, we'll start this off and say, just look at the Beast Wars characters. And you're looking at price points of 110, you know, 60, 70 bucks, and then all of a sudden this jumps up to $200. Mm-hmm. That's a definite increase. Do you see more play value, more accessories and such on Dinobot that would warrant the big hike in price as opposed to Primal? Which we'll go with Sergio first. He's been quiet.
Well, from what I've seen, at least he comes with a lot of stuff. What's weird is that he's coming with a base. I think all future releases are going to come with that base now, because I just think it's odd that of all the characters that they could include a base with, he's getting one.
Well, if you remember, they did that with a lot of the Seekers, and then they backed off from it.
Yeah, they did that, and then Trax had one, and then nobody after that had one. Not even, well, I mean, yeah, Megatron couldn't even make that stand that he, I think he could make a stand, but it's like makeshift kind of with a silencer.
Right.
He is much larger. I know that, but honestly, until we see in-hand video, I don't think I can fairly judge as far as parts count and paint and all of that. We also don't know if it comes with any die cast or anything like that. You know, as far we've only seen gray models. I don't think we've only seen promotional colored photos. We haven't seen any in hand. Even at the toy show they have this weekend, they only have the gray model on display.
Right, but you get an idea of how much, you know, real estate you're getting.
Yeah,
and while it is a lot, but you're talking almost twice as much.
Yeah, I think it's. I'm pretty biased on this topic because they're going to remain nameless. But I know I get my expensive toys from someone who sells them to me for wholesale. So I get the wholesale cost. So I'm only paying like 170 for mine after shipping. So I don't think I'm really the person to ask.
No, but still look at that. I mean, and let's just say you could have got Primal at cost, which probably would have been closer to 80. Okay. Well, there you go. You're still paying, you know, twice as much for a toy that's a little bit bigger. I mean, yeah, it comes with a couple things. I mean, don't get me wrong. First of all, let me go on record as saying, by the pictures, It is freaking awesome. It's amazing. It looks beautiful. But I'm really stuck on the big price difference from what we've seen. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really got me thrown for a loop on that.
I have my own kind of rant that I'm going to save for later on what I've gathered from speaking to different people on the cost of toy making and all of that. And it's still to an extent, I still think it's expensive. There's no dancing around it, but I can see why it's expensive. It still doesn't mean that I'm happy that it's that much or that, you know, I'm okay with them price gouging. I think there's price gouging to an extent, but I don't think he was cheap to create.
Okay. So you think that at least part of the price hike is warranted?
Yeah. I wouldn't say the full price, but definitely part of it.
Okay. Don?
Yeah, actually, Sergio's saying a lot of the same things I've been thinking since we found out about this figure. I think what we're looking at is no pun intended, it's a prime situation of what we've talked about in the past about how is Takara looking at these masterpieces in the order of creation? How many repaints can they get out of them for more mold use? How many markets can they look at to sell this figure in its various formats in order to make it a cheaper down the road or to recover their costs? And I think, like, for example, Mirage. Okay. Whenever we get a Mirage, Mirage is not going to have a lot of repaint potential. You could do the unreleased G2 colors that's been seen in several books. You could do a phasing version like they've done for several third-party figures. Maybe a shattered glass color, maybe a diaclone color. So there are some options. Some of them are way out there. But there's not as much potential as some other car figures. But Dinobot is that to an even greater extreme. So unless you do a shattered glass Grimlock with the Raptor mold, or you do Grimlock in the Dalmatian color motif, unless you make a new character like Slash that just came out of Power of the Primes, could you do that for her with a new head? Maybe. I don't know. But I think what you're looking at here is a major example of there just ain't a lot of repaint potential, and they're going to have to recoup as much as possible up front. So, I think there's some engineering costs built into this. But the one thing that this hurts more is this is coming right after Sunstreaker, who was $120 to $130. As a jump up from when we got Ironhide and Ratchet for around $89 to $99, who came with a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
And now you've got Sunstreaker jumping up to this $120, $130 price, where he does come with a quite a bit of stuff. I don't think it's as much stuff as what they came with Ironhide and Ratchet, but again, we don't know what this Lamborghini license is going to cost them to actually get. But to get Sunstreaker at that price and then get this Dinobot, that's a 1-2 whammy that's left me kind of worried about where Masterpiece is going on down the road.
Well, you're forgetting one too. Megatron was a hike too.
No, that's true. I don't have Megatron. I'm looking at getting the Wajang version for myself, because Wajang has proven themselves to me over the past year or two for their quality. But I just don't have that Megatron. But you are right. I didn't think about him.
So here's something to think about. All right. We've always talked about this before when we talked about when they think about characters to produce, you know, how many times can we reuse this mold? Can we do repaints and blah, blah, blah. But think about it. Cheetor, they have yet to do a remold of.
But they do have a basic skeleton in place for Tigatron.
They do, and it would be great. But I'm just saying, right now, yes. They don't. Primal, the anime, I guess you could call that a repaint. But there's so many more they could do that they haven't touched. Megatron, they haven't done. Which, I don't know what all they could do with that. But think about it. When was the last repaint that they did?
Are you counting Ratchet and Ironhide as repaints of each other, or
Artfire?
Artfire came out in May.
I think Artfire would be the last one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in May.
Okay. So they're still doing them, but it just seems to me if it was that important, they would sprinkle them in more often. So I don't know if it's as important to them anymore to do these repaints.
Well, it depends on the sales.
Yeah.
You know, if they sell a ton of one, then they're not going to need to make a repaint.
And that goes right back to the point I was going to make is you're talking about a new market of Beast Wars in the Masterpiece era. And they're right now they're looking at their sales or holding their own without the repaints. So because these sales are so high, what are they going to do? They increase them. They mark up the value. And they've marked it up about 25%. If you look at the prices of Sunstreaker from the Ironhide and Ratchet and them, you're looking at a 25% increase. And guess what? We're going to pay it. And they see that with Beast Wars right off the bat. So I think that has a lot to do with why they hiked the price up.
Plus there's absolute a metric crap ton of G1 stuff out there. Obviously, we've talked about this before. But there's almost nothing out there for the Beast Wars. The anniversary went by. Hasbro didn't do anything for it. Takara's been the only one doing anything as far as homages. And this is one of the big things. I mean, there's not many characters other than Megatron.
The Megatron one, I think when that gets announced, it's just going to blow people away.
Well, now, one thing I'm going to bring up, because we did discuss this on RFC, and XV brought this up, that Megatron may not actually wind up costing more than Dinobot, even though he's a bigger figure, because it's the level of engineering, because the animation model for Megatron in the show was very similar to the toy. So there's not a lot of magic powder necessary to get Megatron looking like the animation. Yeah.
Right, because his robot mode had a lot of his beast characteristics in it, whereas Dinobot didn't. He looked more humanoid because of the folding panels and whatnot.
The magic powder, basically. You're having to engineer Dinobot more to get the way he's supposed to look versus Megatron, who'd be a lot simpler. So, I'm just giving credit to Rob and XV for, when they were discussing that on RFC. But
I think Primal was simple, too.
He was, but they added more to it.
Plus, there was also that paint process that they used. I can't remember the technical name, where they dip it in the paint and to get the natural variations in texture.
Right.
It's just with Dinobot, it's like we know you want these characters. You ain't got a lot of choice when it comes to Beast Wars, so we're going to charge you more for it. Plus, the fact is we can't reuse this as much, so we got to get back what we can.
That was my point. That was my point. If they're already paying for it, we're going to hit them up front at the door, as opposed to we're going to hit them sporadically with repaints. That has a lot to do with it.
I've always thought they use the repaints to give them not just another mold use, but breathing time in between your major releases.
Right.
It's like I would think Road Rage would have done better if she had come out a little further beyond what she did, but she came out way too close to tracks. So, again, that's just my opinion, is that but now she's sitting everywhere on the market. I've seen them as low as $50 for Road Rage. So, but I still think they're looking at using these repaints when they need a breather room. When it's like for the Seeker mold. It seems like the Seeker mold came out just infrequent enough to give them some breather room between your more major releases. That's what it seems to me anyway.
And they might be used that way also. I mean, my understanding is that they've got, and there's others that definitely would know more than me about it. But I thought they had designs for quite a number that are sitting on the back burner just waiting to be done. You know, even Dinobot, I thought they had a design for that a while ago, and they just now released it.
They had to redo him, I remember. They showed him, like, well over a year ago, and it looked terrible. I remember the render they showed, it was awful.
But I still think, well, I think it does have a lot more to do with breather room than the money. I think they get their money up front. I really do. And I think that they think that there's more G1 collectors out there than there are Beast Wars collectors. So, you know, I could say that that's why they're doing the price hike, but they're doing it across the board.
Yeah.
You know, the Sunstreaker's up in value, or in price. The Megatron's up in price. But here's another thing I want to throw a little wrench in the works is, does anyone else remember the little snafu with Soundwave? Where
wasn't he like super ridiculously expensive when it first came out?
He was very expensive.
No reason.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you bought Soundwave and you paid, it was like $200.
Yeah, it was like $200.
And then you didn't get, you got one cassette. And then to get the two cassettes, that was another $65. And then get the other two cassettes, that was $65. And then all of a sudden, one Christmas, Toys R Us gets it all together for like $150, $160.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, holy crap.
And see, we never really found out with any exact certainty how they achieved that. I mean, how did Hasbro market that set that cheap when there was no drop in quality, there was no massive paint, depainting is what I call it. It's just boom. It's just so...
You had a little bit of paint. You had packaging. You took off the top of my head, a $400-something value, and you knocked it down to $160-$170.
I mean, do you think we'll see that with Dinobot as a release in the U.S.?
I don't know. I wanted to throw that out there because it's not out of the realm of possibility.
But I don't think Masterpiece does well in the U.S. because by the time they release it in the U.S., most collectors already have the Japanese version, and every release so far has been shelf.
How many of you went out and jumped all right away at MP10, the Takara version, or did you wait for the one from Toys R Us that was a ton cheaper? I did.
I really had no choice.
I learned.
I just got lucky.
I'm just saying. I mean, people learn. So,
here's something. Sorry, Brett. Here's something on that same thought. With MP Dinobot's price, do you think we're going to be looking at more people holding off, waiting for a Hasbro domestic release? It's always a gamble, but I think now more than ever, you're going to be seeing more people hoping for a Hasbro domestic release for this at a lower price.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not really that long of a limb, and say that I don't think that the line for people that are going to line up to buy MP, you know, Dinobot is going to be like the people lining up for the new iPhone. It's not going to be like that. You know, I got to have it on launch day. I don't think you're going to see that. I think those days are actually over. And I think you see that, as a matter of fact, I think you see that across the board with even third party.
My prediction is going to be, it's going to be like Megatron, where leading up to the release, everybody's trashing it. Everybody's trashing how the price gets it. Everybody gets it. Those who pre-ordered it get it. Start posting all over the groups how amazing it is. Then when it's too late, it's sold out everywhere. I think that's what's going to happen. I've seen it happen before. I know how the fandom is. We're going to complain about it. But at the end of the day,
it's going to sell out. Saying, but I don't know.
That's just my prediction. Because I saw the same thing with Megatron. The same thing where, Takara's losing their mind, or I'm going to buy this third-party one, and that's what everybody said.
Yeah, but the big problem is that I haven't heard one person that looked at Dinobot and went, ugh, that's ugly, or ugh, they could do that better. It looks amazing.
Other than the dinosaur mode being pretty panely to get what they had to happen, that's the only downside I've heard, but everyone has always said, hey, that dyno mode looks a little panely, but we understand why it is to get that robot mode.
Sure. And look at the robot mode. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think right now we can no longer say and use past experiences with Takara for future predictions, because when you have a company that out of the blue is doing Street Fighter Transformers out of nowhere.
You did say repaints, didn't you?
Yes, but also, I mean, would you have expected that in the any realm of possibility?
I never thought we'd get a convention with Transformers and My Little Ponies, but guess what? It happened.
It happened. Okay, all right, right here. I never thought I would get her, and I did. So we can no longer say, well, in the past they did this, so this is what's going to probably happen. It is all out the window, tumbling downhill, off the cliff, into the ocean, and sinking to the bottom. We don't know what's going to happen anymore. Past predictions, past events, you can give a vague idea of what may happen, but there are no more assure bets. When you do, when I get Headmaster RC and you get Street Fighter Transformers, check, please.
I see what you're saying. I do. But I also am going to go back and say that you never really had an assurity anyway. It was always you always had you had people that didn't have their finger on the pulse of the collectors making decisions. Then all of a sudden they went into this masterpiece realm and found out, hey, if we put people in charge of this division that actually know what the collectors want, we'll sell more. And so that worked for a while. But evidently it didn't work well enough, so then they had to start puking out all the repaints, and because some of them were just, you know, let's face it, they were not that good, you know? So, but then I jump back to what happened with the Toys R Us, and you're right, no one knows how that happened with the Soundwave, but it did. And so is it a possibility? Sure it is. So all right. So the point being is that the price of these things are getting jacked up. All right. They're going up. The collector value is as it always was. Anyone that thinks just because they're paying $200 for a toy, that's going to be worth way more in the future as opposed to a $10 toy, you know, you're delusional. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And everyone also knows that when you stick the word collector on a box, you've just decreased the value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look how much early 90s toy biz stuff came with, like, the little collectors.
Remember when they numbered them? Remember, like Playmates, when Playmates numbered, like, all the Star Trek stuff? And they numbered them all. And people went ape, you know, they went crap over this. Yeah, they're not worth anything. When you assign a collector name or rarity to an item, you've already decreased the value. That's how I look at it.
Other than some that people don't know about, that's what happens. Other than a couple of the 1701 figures, the whole Playmates line is pretty affordable across the board.
Sure. But those 1701s aren't nearly worth what they were when people thought they were going to be worth billions.
No.
So the topic was, what do you think the fandom's going to do? Do you think the fandom's still going to collect these higher-end collectibles? If you look at, like, collectors of Hot Toys, you know, where $200-$300 for a figure is, that's normal. You know, Hot Toys, they don't have $10, $15 toys.
Yeah.
You know, all theirs are, you know, $150+.
You know, I basically Dinobot is our best example of the Hot Toys pricing structure.
Sure.
Because I mean, you know, that is in the same area as your basic Hot Toys figures.
Exactly.
I'll be honest. I want Dinobot for the collection because he does look good. But I'm sitting here, will I be able to actually enjoy that toy sitting on the shelf, knowing that I paid $200 to $200. I mean, I've spent that for some third-party things, But that those were some pretty big, massive pieces.
I feel like that's a whole other beast right there, because you can look at your entire collection and be like, you know, am I really enjoying what could be, in some cases, another house? You know?
Yeah, it's just I want it, and I know I would like the figure. It's just what I'm spending for what I'm getting. I don't know if I'm going to be able to enjoy that figure from what I have to pay for it.
Okay, so then my question to you is going to be, do you think there's more people in the collector fandom that think like you do, or that there's more that are going to just say, I want it, I'm going to pay it?
Well, I long day at work. I
you think need your bowl of coffee.
I'm out. I have to go get some. I think there's enough people that are Beast Wars fans that started out as Beast Wars is their G1.
Right. This is the G1 for people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they're of an age now where they have the discretionary income, because they're going to be in their early to mid-20s, late 20s, maybe even early 30s, give or take. They've got the discretionary income. This is the character as if it stepped off the TV screen. This is their Optimus Prime. This is their G1 Megatron. This is the character they're going to buy no matter what. And I think there's more people out there that Beast Wars carries that G1 weight for. But there's people that was there for G1 like me, like Duron, like, you know, like some of the other collectors, like you, Brett, that we were there for G1. We love Beast Wars. But as much as we love Dinobot, he's important, but he's not a linchpin figure, if that makes any sense. He is for Beast Wars in the continuity, but it's just, I don't know. I may not be explaining it the best way. It's really hard to pin this one down.
He is not the main, let's put it in simplest terms, he's not the main good guy, and he's not the main bad guy.
But he made the most impact.
But he is the most neutral, flip back before, you know, but he's the most, I'm going to say he's one of the most pivotal characters.
That's a good word.
How's that good?
That's a great word for Dinobot, pivotal. Because everything revolves around his, even after he's dead, his actions continue to drive, spoilers. his actions continue to drive the show up until the very 20 years old at this point. So yeah, that's a great choice of words, Brett.
And by the way, I was going to say that too. This is another thing that I think is going to drive the price to where, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to buy it. Is if you look at toys when they come into their, and to coin your phrase, their prime for collectability is usually around 10 to 15 years. And that's usually because if you're a kid and you play with these toys, you get older, you get settled into your job. Hey, I want to go, you know, nostalgic. It's usually about 15 years. We're actually at 22 years since Beast Wars first came out. Came out in 95. So if we're well past that. So I think the people that have the money that grew up with that have already established themselves are more than ready to buy this. So they're willing to pay the extra money. So I think that kind of lends to it a little bit too, because they've had to wait. You know, you got Primal. Cheetor was, let's face it, you know, here's how I look at it. Primal is up here. All right. Cheetor is like, you know, he's okay. And Dinobot's definitely up there with Primal, if not better. So they've waited long enough. I think they're ready. You know, they're ready to spend the money.
And if you look at it, I think Cheetor's engineering work was a test run for Dinobot to see to try, because
Cheetor on a smaller scale
to see how far they could push Because, you know, Cheetor does basically just stand up and become a robot, kind of. He doesn't do the magic folding and unfolding that Dinobot does.
Right.
But I do believe that Cheetor's engineering work was a dry run for Dinobot. And like I said, we did get from Cheetor at least a basic transforming skeleton for Tigatron. If not the same mold, obviously, but at least the same basic transformation.
You know, I look at that and I think all they'd have to do is beef it up a little bit. Because in my opinion, even though, you know, everyone knows the original toys were off the same mold, I always thought that Tigatron was a little beefier than Cheetor. You know, a snow leopard. So he was thicker. And I don't think it would take that much. And they honestly, quit teasing your cat. I think all they would really have to do, if you're right, is just make a simple repaint. And they could get away with it. With the exact same everything. And they could get away with it. But I would hope they give us a little more.
Yeah, as a Tigatron fan, I really would not want a straight repaint of Cheetor.
I wouldn't either. I think a bigger mane or something, you know, just a beefier. But I might be asking too much, you know. Yeah. I think we'd be lucky if we get a head sculpt.
Yeah. But I think Dinobot is going to literally be, we're going to have to wait and see what happens, because it could go in so many different directions as soon as it hits the market. And it's just, all I hope is the car gets better on their photography, because if we look at Ironhide and Ratchet, how badly they've screwed up a lot of their promotional photography to get us interested. When everything is said and done, and the product says, here is a product shot of your $250 Dinobot, it needs to be right. Then I think everybody, again, once it starts hitting video, that'll be the big push there. But these promotional photos have got to be right. Otherwise, they could cost themselves some sales based off of that.
Well, let me ask you this much. What do you think of the promotional shots they did of Sunstreaker? Do you think
that those
were A1?
I do, but here, I'll be honest, here's the thing. I have Sunsurge. I think he looks great as Sunstreaker. And I really didn't look at Sunstreaker that much, because it wasn't worth me spending it. Like we talked about on one show, Bray. I don't think Sergio was here.
Yep.
The value to replace Sunsurge with Sunstreaker in my Masterpiece shelf is not there. If I'm spending $130 to get something that's not that much better than what I have.
Sorry, so really, there you go. But I see really your video now. Sorry, go ahead.
But I really did not look at Sunstreaker that much, other than, oh, that's nice, it's interesting, but I already have a good one on the shelf. I can save that $120.
Now, see, I look at, I'm just flipping through some of the promotional that they show him, and, I mean, he's got some good. They show him in the nice, you know, Charlie's Angels gun mode, you know, shooting the gun, and it looks fine. Yeah. It looks okay.
And I like the one where they have him unfolded, like you see him peeling apart for the transformation. I mean, that right there shows you the kind of engineering that they've got going on this character.
Yeah,
but.
But here, can I screen share? Let me see here. This was one that I saw, and I just think it's funny, because you talk about, you know, they're trying to show the best aspects of this toy, and well, this is Hobbyweb Denjiki. So I don't know if it's the,
yeah, I know you're talking Dengar.
Yeah. But here he is. They show a picture of him lying on the ground, and that's cool. Nice little sniper shot. But the only thing I can see is look at all that crap on his back.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't find this very flattering. So I agree with you. I think promotional shots is important. But I also think that the one thing that this Dinobot has that Sunstreaker doesn't is, it's the first. Third-party items haven't tackled this one yet. And I think they know that. And I think that's why they're putting a lot of chips into this. What do you think, Sergio?
You're talking about the photos, like the photography?
Well, just the fact that they're, you know, they know we're the only ones that have Dinobot. You know, with Sunstreaker, there's been two other companies that have done it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about tested waters as opposed to untested waters.
Well, I think third party is definitely evolving again. You know, we're seeing all the movie stuff that's been coming out. I think that was long overdue for them to finally break away from the G1. Because when they were doing the G1, it was like five different companies making the same one. And now we're starting to see them do different characters. They're starting to leave G1. You know, I recently got the Make Toys Galaxy Meteor, which is the Cybertron Starscream. And that toy's fantastic, you know, and it's one of the best non G1 third party toys I've seen in a long time. So I think they snoozed big time on Beast Wars. They probably could have cashed in on it before Takara did.
Well, look at what's that company? One of the companies is doing Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Perfect effect. They also did that really nice.
They did the Primal Prime.
Optimus.
Yeah, Optimal Optimus and Primal Prime, which I've got the Optimal Optimus and it's fantastic. So
they started
dipping their toes into it, and I just think that they missed an opportunity because they could be cashing in on this.
But they're doing it well. They're doing the characters that are a little bit more out there. Like you know, you look at like that's why I didn't buy Sunstreaker, and that's why I'm holding out on Trailbreaker and all that, because I know we're probably going to get those eventually sooner than later.
Well, he went on record as saying that they are going to do the 84. Did he say 84, 85 cast, or just 84?
I believe he said 84 and 85, basically to cover all the Autobot cars.
Right, they're going to do them all. So,
you know, I have the X-Trans box, Payon. They're hoist, which I think is the best looking hoist of the third party ones. But I am waiting for an actual Takara Trailbreaker. This Trailbreaker is important enough to me. I want it as good because I've always liked Trailbreaker, and none of the third parties were quite right.
What's the other company that made it? Is it X-Transbot that did Trailbreaker?
X-Transbot's Bad Q.
Bad Q. Well, that's the one that I got of Trailbreaker, and I'm a really big fan of Trailbreaker, and yes, I probably will get the official, but I thought it looked really good, just on a side note. So, you know, and Dom, we've talked about this before. I mean, we flip back and forth. If the official's good, we go with it. If the third party will work, we go with the third party.
See, I don't mind mixing third party and official I know some people that they want just Masterpiece, Hasbro, and Takara on their shelf for that stuff. Me, I go with the best looking representation that we have currently. You know, like I said, you know, this is I've got Sun Surge.
Yeah.
I think he looks great. He does have a backpack, but I don't think it's near as bad.
But so does the official. The official does too.
But I mean, I don't think his is quite as bad. But again, the official could be mistransformed for all we know.
Correct, but the you know I was a big fan of if they made an official I wasn't gonna get a third party, and I did that all the way up and Don will laugh at this when I started they started on their Seekers and I made it to one specific Seeker which I almost threw across the wall, so the quality just went so far downhill that I just lost all faith in them.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to – when we get to our second topic, this was something I was going to suggest, but I've already suggested it so often. This is not Masterpiece Ramjet. This is the BB-7.
It's not shaking around either.
Yeah. This is the BB-7 Yes model.
Yes, I have the official, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
He makes a nice hula dancer. You know, he can do the hula dance.
And Donomics aside, This was $89 shipped.
Yeah, you ain't gonna beat that.
And it is a solid figure. It looks like Masterpiece Ramjet. Again, it's just I'm going where the quality is, not just how cheap. But this to me is Masterpiece Ramjet, and I'm happy with them. And like you said, you know.
Yeah, the quality that I got from all three Coneheads went from bad to worse to insufferable.
Yeah.
They just got worse, worse, and worse.
And for $170, and I got this for about half the price.
Yep.
And it's that solid. But again, some people don't like mixing third party and official on the same shelf.
Which is fine, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
Everybody does their own.
Right.
Yeah. But I for me, it's being older and having grown up with stuff that you had your knockoffs, you had your little KOs on your counter with your other toys, and it never really bothered me as long as the figure was nice. And I guess it's sort of parallel to growing up with fourth generation VHS tapes. Whereas, you know, I can watch something on a lower quality and be happy because at least I know what's going on. And but, you know, I know a couple of guys that at the show, someone was showing off an episode of Robots in Disguise or something on their laptop. But it was like at a 240 DPI. It was a new episode. And one of the guys said, I'll just wait till I can find it in HD. if you haven't seen it and it's watchable, at least that way you know what's going on, so you're caught up, and then you can always watch it later again if you wanted to. Again, that it's just a tangent, but it's the same similar thing. Anyway,
I got you. All right, so I didn't know if I wanted to jump to that next topic yet.
Well, okay, final thoughts on Dinobot.
Okay, yes. For me, I'll buy it. I'll pay it. I'll pay the price because I think it's an exceptionally good looking figure. But I am the guy that I will take my chances on it selling out because I have been burned too many times and I wait for a review. I'm going to wait for a review. Because there's too many times that I bought something just afraid that it's going to sell out. And then it's been a horrible figure. So I'm going to wait for the review. That's just me. But am I going to buy it? More than likely. Unless every, you know, reviewer says this thing is just a total piece of crap. It might look good, but it's horrible. Tolerance is whatever. Yes, I'm buying it. Sergio?
I'm buying it. I like Beast Wars enough. I think it looks great. The engineering on Megatron impressed me. The photos of Sunstreaker has impressed me. So I don't think I'll be disappointed.
Well, there you go. So you got three yeses across the board. Not too bad. All right. So the other thing that we're going to go right into the Christmas ideas. Is that what you want to do next?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Don?
Yeah, well, yeah, because you know, we try to help out with, you know, if you have a Transformer collector in your life, or maybe you're just looking for the next purchase yourself, stuff that you haven't thought of, stuff maybe that slipped under your radar, stuff you want to hear what other people think before you make the decision, like Brett with Dinobot,
right?
You know, so we try to help out with some ideas from stuff that we have actually bought and purchased that we would recommend for you to take a look at for a Christmas gift, or whatever the case may be.
I gotta make sure. Go ahead.
We're doing it kind of early this year because, you know, with as busy as the holiday season gets, you want to get enough time to get out there, search around for the best price, check, you know, go to Capture Prey, check their price, you know, see what they've got. If it's a vintage theme, you know, check with Brett, Mega Toy Fan, if it's something vintage you're looking for,
Yeah, but I'm also looking at, like, right now, there's a lot of sales going on.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got sales, literally.
Right.
I mean, you could spend a week straight on the computer going to every toy store online across the board, and everyone's got sales.
Oh, no. Did all you get hit on your email with Black Friday? I mean, how many emails did you get that said Black Friday this, Black Friday that? I mean, trust me.
In the last week and a half, my folder storage has gone down from like 40% left to like 20% left. I've got to go in and start deleting some stuff out of my folders.
Yeah, your spam's kicking up.
Yeah.
So what? Let's start with Sergio. Are you ready? What would be? Yep. Let's go with official first. Do official. What would be your pick for official for Christmas? Official release.
Good timing, because the reissue of Megatron just dropped, and that is my toy of the year, and it's also my favorite masterpiece that they've ever released. That toy, it honestly impressed me. The amount of parts that went to it, and the articulation, the paint, it does scratch, but it looks nice. The amount of accessories that it came with, the die cast in it, it's a quality made figure. The transformation is amazing. You have to try it for yourself. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, once you do it yourself, it's plastic origami. It's amazing. So I would definitely say MP36 Megatron, especially now that the reissue has come out. Now is the time to get it before it sells out again.
Okay. So yours would be MP Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
Don?
Okay. I am going to say a couple of things, because I'll be honest. There wasn't, since I don't have Megatron, I really can't attest to the quality. I've heard of the same thing from a lot of people, Sergio, so I've heard a lot of that. But I personally don't have him. There hasn't been really one great standout figure this year for official for me. There's been a lot of figures that were just good figures. So I want to go over a couple of them now. If you want something simple, I think the last three waves of Titans Return, the Deluxes, Top Spin, Misfire, Slug Slinger, Trigger Happy. I think those are some of the best molds they've come out with and some of the best figures. If you like G1, some of them are Wreckers characters, if you like Target Masters, I think those four deluxes there are some of the best deluxes we've ever seen, probably in several years, probably since when we were getting Reveal the Shield and all that kind of stuff. Just some solid figures. The Titans Return gimmick works fine. I've got them behind me here. You know, it's like, love Twin Twist, the Top Spin. I keep saying Top. I love Top Spin. Love Slug Slinger. I think Trigger Happy is still one of my favorites of all time, just for the innovation of the transformation. So if you got a G1 collector, even if they don't collect Titans Returns, I think those are some really great figures. And for the first time ever, I'm going to recommend a movie figure. I know. It's weird. I know. I am going to recommend Voyager Megatron. The jet mode is incredibly detailed. The robot mode, other than having some of the holes in the forearms. But I think this is probably one of the best figures I have ever seen Hasbro and Takara do.
And the quality is great.
The quality is great. And again, I hate to say this, this is a movie figure. If you had told me a couple years ago that I would be giving a movie figure a must-buy of the year recommendation for a collector, even if someone doesn't like the movie per se, this is still a great-looking Megatron. He's got the fusion cannon. He's got the hip armor that hinges out of the way. It's just, other than those hollow forearms, other than there not being a little panel to cover that, and that is so nitpicky, I know, that there is almost no kibble on the back. Even the wings wrap around and collapse around the legs instead of just sticking off like you would a Combiner Wars aerial bot, you know, just stuck off to the side. You've got hip skirts that lock into place. It's just, this is probably one of the best movie figures they've done. And I really can't recommend the Voyager enough. Other than that, I will give an honorable mention to the both. Well, I guess I'm going to do it. I'll be fair. The Titan Turn Cup mold. I wound up loving this mold a whole lot more than I thought I would. Yeah, the U.S. version is a little weird, but this, I've got the Orion Pax version. I've also got the Takara version because it was so radically different than the U.S. version as well. I just think any incarnation of this mold, I think you would really, it'd be really appreciated by a collector, just because it's just, each version is so unique. No.
Someone's marking there. They're yelling at you.
Yeah, I noticed that. No. So, I hate to give Cup like an honorable mention, but he's kind of like a niche thing, because if you're not a big into the post-movie stuff, or you're not a big Target Master fan, he may not hit all your buttons, but there's three versions. You can find one you like.
Right.
So that's it for me for official.
All right. All right. I'm going to break it into two categories. I'm going to break it into the ones that I absolutely know. And I'm trying to remember if I got it this year. That's my problem. I buy so little. I'm trying to think. When did Primal come out?
It was this year.
I thought it was this year.
I believe it was this year.
Was it early this year or was it end of last year?
I think it was end of last year. Yeah, it was end of last year. We got Cheetor this year.
Okay. I don't want to say Cheetor.
That's right. I got my Primal. I bought it a little late, so I didn't actually get it until after first of the year.
I'd still say Primal, sorry, even though it's last year. That masterpiece Primal is just such a good figure. And we did get because we got the animated version this year.
Yeah.
We got the repaint this year. That's what it was. But it's such a fun toy. And you're talking, if you guys will remember a long time ago when we were talking about best toy ever, and I said for the value, the play value, you cannot beat the original Optimus Primal. Yep. It's just a fun, fun toy. Yep. And this one is just an updated version of it. It's just got tons of fun with it. You know, tons of fun.
Not many of the Beast War toys hold up that long. The original toy holds up well as Ultra Primal.
Yeah, it's so good. And so I got to go with that. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to say this is a possible. And the only reason I say that is because while I've held one, I've never owned it. And that is the Titans Return Trypticon.
I like it.
I think it's a good figure. It looks good. It's very, very reminiscent of the original. I mean, down to where if you put them next to each other and you went across the room, they look the same. You know, they're really, really close. So I like some of the features. Some of them didn't – I don't know. There were some things I didn't like about it. I think the gimmick, the swallowing gimmick and all that just – I would have rather have been more articulating and than that. But, you know, full tilt, awesome. That little car looks amazing. So, and I think right now you might even be able to find one on sale. So, wouldn't be a bad idea for your, you know, Transformer collector, grab one of those suckers. Because, I mean, I think that's going to be high on a lot of people's list. So that's for official. What about unofficial? We'll go back to Sergio.
I mentioned it before, the Galaxy Meteor Cybertron Starscream for Make Toys. It's a great toy, and not just because they're finally giving what I grew up with love, but it's just a solid figure overall. Simple transformation, nothing. It has a couple feet steps in it that'll, you know, make you go, "Wow, that's pretty smart," but nothing that'll, you know, make you want to throw it across the room. It's simple, back and forth, great quality. The joints are great. The paint is great. There's really nothing that I see negative about it.
The one thing I love, see, Cybertron Starscream is not my favorite design. So it's not, I really don't have any attachment to it. But again, I didn't grow up with it more like a lot of people did. But I do agree the engineering is great. Those leg panels on the back that flip up and fold in, that hide the hollowness in the back of the legs, that's brilliant. That I have to give them kudos for that, because it's a gimmick. It makes it look better in robot mode. It's unobtrusive in vehicle mode. You don't have panels hanging off everywhere because it all compresses inside the leg. A phenomenally good idea to take care of that.
Okay. Don, third party pick.
Okay. I'm going to go again with a couple things here. I mentioned Voyager Megatron. Yizhang did the upscaled, bigger than leader class Rensora of that Voyager Megatron. I picked up this one from a diecast on RFC, and it's as good as the regular Voyager. It's big. It's big, but it's still visually impressive. The quality is there. The translucent blade is there. They fixed and added some coverings for the holes there on the forearms, was not as noticeable. Plus, there's a very cheap upgrade kit for like $7 in most cases that in plain mode, a lot of those exposed gaps can be filled. So he looks a little more solid in plain mode. So if you like the Voyager, but you want just like, say, one standalone piece just to look impressive and you like the movie design, this is a really good figure. You've got ratcheting joints. It's just a really nice upscale of the Voyager. And I'm also going to recommend this was the second Cosmos that came out. Which one? This was Klaatu. Klaatu. To me, I love this Cosmos. I have the Toy World Cosmos. I have the clear version because, you know, me and the clear plastics, I kind of like them when, you know, the way they look. But this one right here, I think it was X-Transbox Klaatu. This is a really great looking Cosmos. He's got the look down pat. He's got the wrist blasters. The yellow is the right yellow. I just think this is, if you like Cosmos, and Cosmos is always one of my favorite little unsung characters of the show. Because again, Mike McConaughey is one of my favorite voice actors. So there's that. The only thing else I'd recommend, I do have one other official, but it's kind of weird. Primitive Prime. I really hate recommending an official a convention figure with the price he's going to be bringing. That's why I really didn't mention him during the official. But I do want to at least give him a shout out that if you're looking for a unique piece and you don't mind spending a little more money, if you're getting one nice thing, this is such a great reuse of that Optimus Prime mold in these colors. It's just,
and now all you gotta do is wait for the Fire Guts one to come,
right? So I mean, it was a convention exclusive. It's gonna cost you a little more now this far after the fact. But I would like to at least give it an honorable mention as a possible, but it would be a really nice piece for a lot of people to have. The only other third-party stuff I want to recommend is I am mentioning Yizhang one more time because they have really gone beyond being just a KO-er. They've actually taken molds, made improvements, added die-cast, added more parts, to make a figure more complete. And I'm using this as an example. This is their, y'all saw this when I got it. This is the leader size version. Basically, it's the shattered, it's the Nemesis Optimus, the evasion mode Optimus that we got a couple years ago in leader class with extra parts. There's a little bit of die cast in here, but it just looks that great.
It's and you solid. Said the quality was pretty good on that.
The quality is I have not transformed him since I got him. I'm way behind on my getting stuff set up. But I did transform the regular colored Optimus version of this. And the extra mass and size makes that arm pivot on the top that evasion mode is kind of known for. It makes it a bit easier in with this larger scale. So it's like reverse universe Galvatron.
And what's the price point on this?
Usually you can get him around $79 to $99, and he comes with a whole bunch. He comes with a shield, double swords, an axe. So he's got a wide range of accessories as well. So again, if you like the movie aesthetic, you could probably get this Prime and that Megatron, the Rensora, around $160 to $170 for the pair, which would make a really nice Optimus and Megatron combo. But, that's what I recommend as far as third party.
You got me right when I was texting.
Okay, you want ham and pineapple.
I do like that. I do like that combo. A Hawaiian pizza, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, there's nothing wrong.
As long as you don't put black olives on it. I don't like the black olives.
Well, I prefer Canadian bacon, but whenever you have Canadian bacon, you get ham. So it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah, that's right. I get you. Okay, so for non-official, and Don, you're going to know why. But okay. I'm going to pick the Zeta toys that have come out so far, the Bruticus pieces. Look at all the limbs. They look so much like the animated versions, and they're $60.
Yeah,
they're $60 a piece, and everything I've heard from them, the quality's pretty damn good. I'm not going to say they're perfect, but they're pretty damn good. Now I have yet to, of course, because we haven't gotten all of them yet. I'm kind of holding a little reserve on it only to see what the combined mode, what people think of that. But Don is too, love Bruticus, my favorite. So you get one that looks a lot more like the show, and hell, it's even cheaper. Hell, I'm right there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
I can understand because I'm giving the small, like, little War in the Pot, the
pocket
the,
ones,
the pocket ones. I'm getting that one there, but I can't wait to see what Zeta does for a different combiner that's in that kind of same scale. That would be, interesting to see what they do next.
Well, and that's the other thing. And I'm going to preface that by saying, yes, I'm telling you these are good picks and everything, but I'm also going to say, look, I always wait anymore. I wait. I want to see what everyone has to say about it. And I also want to see, hey, for all I know, down the road, something better's coming because it happens. But I don't think you can go wrong with some of the picks that we've given, I hope that helps. We did, like I said, we got this out a little early, like Don said, but you just came off the Black Friday sales, the Cyber Mondays, and who knows, they're going to have the next week / price sales. Who knows?
Now and Christmas, it's like it's Russian roulette with
it is. With you don't know. And just remember, everyone's out there. They're all biting at the bit to get your dollar. So they're all cutting deals. So so with that, is there anything else we wanted to do on this topic?
I want to add one thing real quick. While you're out, buy a toy, give a toy. Toys for Tots. You got the Salvation Army. You've got individual companies and stores doing toy drives. Use some of these sales. Buy one, get ones, whatever the case may be. Dynamics your way into a good Christmas for somebody else.
Oh, and I just now thought about this. I know. Sergey, I know you got to pee, but hang on just a minute. the other thing is, and we were just talking about this before the show went on, is Fun Publications has got 80% off right now. I mean, holy crap. If there was something that you wanted to do to get to fill in your convention collection, 80% off is pretty damn good. I mean, some of that stuff's going for pennies. So, you know, might want to jump over there, see if there's some things. They got some neat items. I mean, I picked up, you know, they're goofy. I picked up little shot glasses, but I mean, the set was $1.40. I mean, you're not gonna lose anything on those. So, always good ideas, you know, little stocking stuffers, whatever. So, as always, as I've said before, do your homework, save your money, and shop smart. Shop S smart. Right. So, all right, and with that, I think we're going to wrap this one up. This might have been a little bit of a short one, but we had one of us fall under the weather because they were eating those gas station hot dogs, which I warned them not to do. But, you know, whatever, you know, teach his own. So with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. So for TFYLP, I'm Megamus. Don?
I'm Headmaster Don.
And Sergio. I'm Sergio. And we're going to call it a night. Take care. We'll see you next week on TFYLP.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.